Hello, Star Wars fans. We are back again for yet another episode of the Starlight Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Connor,
I'm Johnny, aka Daddy Sheev.
aka Daddy Sheev, and we are here to talk about Acolyte Episode 3.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be a lot to get into on this one. We were chatting and we decided to kind of just go in blind on this one because we've got a lot of things to say, a lot of things to discuss. So honestly, if you're ready, let's get into it.
Yeah, I am. Where do you want to start?
Let's just start from the be all right, let's just start from before this episode, because you had been talking to me for a little bit about what you thought this episode was going to be, and you were right.
Yeah, I just want to. I can't remember if I said on a podcast or not. But about 30 minutes before the episode dropped, we were playing some pro clubs in FIFA. By the way, great, great game. And I was asked by our one friend, "What do you think for the upcoming episode?" And I said, I think it's going to be a whole flashback episode of like their origin story of like what happened 16 years ago. And I hit the nail on the head. That's what we got.
Yeah, no, it's I was in agreement with you when you mentioned you thought it was going to be flashback episode, but I did not expect it to be as the whole I didn't expect it to be the whole entire episode. I thought we were going to go in and out of flashbacks as we were telling the story, but they just went right in. They went right in, and we start with Osha sitting under that tree, and then May comes up to her, and it's always asking. She says, "Why are you always running away?" And we start to see that like Osha is trying to kind of break away from May, which in actuality, I've known a lot, like a couple of twins in my life, and you start to see that happen at a certain point. They start to kind of be their own people. So I thought that was a super interesting aspect to their characters. And we see that they do their little like sayings. They have the you are me and I give me you, whatever that is. Sorry. But yeah, what did you think about the beginning of this episode and where it was going?
I did like that it went right into a flashback. I found it interesting even off the bat, like you pointed out, you can see Osha like, wants to kind of do her own thing, break away from the twin. I also thought it was cool how she kind of cared for those little butterfly things, and then May was like being all aggressive with it. So you kind of already see from a young age like the difference between the two, and like more the dark side with May. I guess more of the light side you see with Osha, especially with like her connection to animals and nature. So I thought the intro of the episode was good. It was also interesting, about like the coven cult kind of thing that they're in. They're like, oh, you can't be out here. But then we got my man behind me was peeking. He was following him, which we don't know why they're on the planet in the first place. Like, there's still a lot we don't know about this covenant and like the origin. We kind of know a little bit. So I'd be curious to see like why was Saul just spying on some kids?
Yeah, let's actually get into the Coven. This is an organization that is separate from the Night Sisters. They're not Dathomirian witches.
Yeah, they're
What
different.
did you what were your first impressions of the Coven, the like their coven, and the witches?
A first impression, I definitely got a lot of like Dathomir witch vibes from it, all women. It sounded like in their dialogue, they're exiled from their original planet, kind of in hiding. And I got the vibe kind of right away that like they are force users in some kind, which we saw. What was her name? The mother?
Mother Anisea
Yeah,
is
Mother
Jodie
Anisea
Turner Smith.
kind of described the force and their own interpretation of like pulling strings and stuff, which in different cultures and religions they call the same thing, just different words. And we kind of see here like she kind of hinted that like the string she was talking about was the force. So I
Yeah,
thought that was interesting.
it was cool to see. I am one for like I would love to see more diversification in the Force, which is something that the High Republic books have done. For just to give some context, the main villains of the High Republic are the Nihil. And when we go back even further than those first books, it's basically the start of the Nihil, or the path of the Open Hand. Their whole philosophy is that the Force is like something that you should not manipulate at all. It's like, if you manipulate something in the Force, something bad happens. Like, let's say you save someone using the Force, someone will die because you use the Force like elsewhere. So it's like a give and take kind of thing. So to see a different philosophy used, and, you know, obviously different vocabulary. I know she mentioned, like you said, the thread. She was like, some people call it a Force, some people call it a thread. It's all something. It's all the same thing, but it's just interpreted differently.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, would she call it thread or she call it strings? For some reason, I thought I was saying strings there. So she did call it like the thread. It is like,
yes, the thread. Concept. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking up right now. Yep. There he's, they call it the thread. Basically like tying individuals together and their destiny. Yeah. And if you pull on a thread, that's a path that you take. So she mentions that, like basically the Force isn't some power that decides everything for you. It's a tool to use to choose your path and pull the thread.
And her kind of talking about, you know, the Force being there for your use, I get kind of like dark side vibes from that. And we kind of saw that. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but we kind of saw them kind of use the Force and stuff, and definitely got like some dark side vibes from this this covenant. But what were you gonna say before that?
I want to talk about Mother Anisea. I thought she was a really cool character and like interesting leader for the coven. We see Mother Coral, who is the Zabraki witch.
Yeah.
She is a little bit more, I guess, like fearful, a little bit more you know, scared to that they're gonna get caught, and there she's the first to kind of like, hey, she tells Mother and I say, hey, we have to be more strict with these girls. So it's kind of like two sides of the same coin, and they're in a relationship too. So it was a cool dynamic to see them kind of talk out how to lead the coven. Obviously Mother Anisea is a leader, but I think others look towards Mother Coral as well as a leader. So it was cool to see them.
Yeah, it seemed like Mother Coral was, I forget the terminology they're using, but she had some kind of rank with, you know, like with all the different people, like
all the witches.
The witches, the one part of the episode, they kind of had their own like titles and stuff. But yeah, the mother is really interesting, and the covenant's interesting because like they're saying they're in exile, they're in hiding. It seems like they're in hiding from the Jedi. We're not sure who they're in hiding from, but they're, you know, talking about being persecuted and stuff. And it seems like their way of the Force, the way they were talking, at least the episode, I forget the exact quote, but they were talking about like, oh, they think our way of the Force is bad and other ones are good. So I thought that was an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it seems they have been casted out of whatever planet that they were in before, or driven out by some greater force, such as the Jedi or the Republic. Because like the Jedi said, when the Jedi pull up to the witches, to the Ascension ceremony, they talk about how, hey, you guys can't train kids in the way of the Force. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I find that really interesting, and I guess it makes sense because, you know, to hide the Jedi, they don't want anybody else, you know, dark side users, anyone else in, with the Force training children. So like, I found that was like interesting, you know, an interesting rule or Republic law. Basically like, oh, no Sith, no nothing else. Basically almost like religious persecution. Like, I found that analogy of like, oh, we do it right, like it's our way or the highway, like this is a holy rule, like let's take your kids. So what'd you think about that?
Yeah, well, it's funny that you say take your kids, because that's exactly what the Coven accuses the Jedi of doing.
That's what they do.
Yeah, she's like, the Jedi take, he's like, the Jedi take kids. And then Sol's like, the Jedi do not take kids. But something is going on that we are not aware of yet. I think going back to the Republic law, I think it's very interesting that we see the Jedi start to get into this bureaucracy.
Of like Republic rule and all that. Not instead of right and wrong, they're like, no, this is the rule of the Republic.
So you're starting to see how these Jedi from the past are building and setting habits and ideology to the Jedi of the future that will become the prequel Jedi. So you see that, hey, we're gonna lean on this bureaucracy because we don't like what you're doing, as opposed to, hey, is what they're doing wrong or right in our eyes? Their excuse is, hey, we're going to lean on this bureaucracy that, you know, we're not 100% with, but it benefits us right now. So we're going to lean on that to get what we want, which I thought was an interesting plot point to just Jedi lore in general, as we see them going down that path getting more tight with the Republic.
Yeah, it kind of paints them in not such a good picture. Like, you're literally taking kids because you feel like it's your right from the government. Like, that is, you know, not like the will of the Force, or like what is, you know, right in your eyes. That's like, you know, using a higher power to take advantage, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to talk about when this scene that's behind you, Johnny, when the Jedi pull up to talk to Mother Anisea and the witches. Basically, Mother Anisea possesses Torben.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah,
when we see his eyes turn dark, and like basically takes over. It possesses him. Is that what we're assuming happens? We don't exactly know.
Yeah, we don't know what it really is, but she uses the Force. I was hinting at that earlier. She literally like uses the Force somehow to like basically control Bro, and he was floating like he was in episode 2, just not the same way. So she's clearly powerful, you know, in the Force.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, you know, they're only interested in the kids, and it didn't seem like the Jedi were really interested in the Covenant. But
yeah, I would say that it's probably because they could train the kids to be Jedi. The witches are too old to be able to become Jedi.
Yeah.
And they're dying out anyway. So
it seems like they were, well, now they're all spoiler alert, they're all now super dead. But we'll get that in a little bit.
One of the things I also wanted to touch on with Mother Anisea and the witch's ideology, and specifically her ideology, is she says, she's talking to Osha and she's like, the Jedi aren't bad. And Mother Anisea says, like, this isn't about good or bad, it's about power and who's allowed to use it. So
exactly
that quote struck me, because we got to go back to the, hey, you're not allowed to do this. We are in power. You also have power, but we have so much more to back it up. We have thousands of Jedi. We have a whole Republic behind us. Like, you're not allowed to do this, even though we're both doing the same thing.
Yes, and we talked on that earlier a little bit about, like, you know, you just said, it was like, oh, the Jedi feel like they're morally, you know, they can do this because of the Republic, and like shunning out any other ideology because they have that power. So that was really interesting. But also, I want to pivot to this. What did you think of the line that's got everybody up in arms about how the twins were conceived through the Force somehow? We don't entirely know yet how it was done. It was hinted at. The Zabrak, what's her name?
Mother Coral.
Mother Coral to the other mother was like, what are you going to do when the Jedi find out how we made them, how they were created? Like, that is really interesting to me. I'm getting a little Anakin vibes from episode 1 about, like, you know, they asked, like, who's the father? And they're like, there are no father. So it's really, it seems like they're made through the Force, which is a concept that we've seen previously with Anakin, but it's cool to come up again in the show. And I like that parallel with Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I was really surprised that they went this route. I think it's a bold choice, considering, you know, that is, it's kind of been touched on with Anakin, not in depth. We don't really know a lot about exactly what happened.
Yeah, we don't know a lot here either.
And we don't know a lot here. I think the main difference is that Anakin was born from the Force without anybody's manipulation. The twins were born through manipulation of the Force, it seems. Like, because Mother Coral turns to Mother Anisea and is like, she's like, I carry them. And then Mother Anisea is like, I made them. Like, it was me. And then Mother Coral is like, well, what if the Jedi found out how you made them? Like, how they were created? That, to me, like, is getting the gears turning for, like, hey, she did something with the dark side of the Force to create life. And that's something that the Sith have been looking to do for so long, and manipulate midichlorians to create life, to sustain life.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if down the line, I'm under the impression that these witches will somehow be tied in with the Sith.
I was thinking whether, Plagueis.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what Plagueis is looking to do.
That's what well, allegedly he could do that. Allegedly.
Right. That's what Palpatine says.
Yeah, that's what Scrotum said in episode 3. Yeah.
That was super cool. What did you think initially of that?
I have no problem with it. I mean, we've seen it before in Star Wars. I don't think it undermines Anakin's creation. I think it's an interesting concept. You know, about like the Force and manipulating the Force. And I mean, we don't know all the details yet about how it actually works. We just know that there's no father and that they were created through the Force. We don't know how that's done, but I think it's going to have some parallel with Darth Plagueis, and I'm all for that. And I'm excited to see what else comes with the show on that concept.
The Phantom Menace is up in arms. Oh, about dude, so this. Tight.
In my opinion, very overblown.
I am so happy that you share my opinion on this, and like you are witnessing this, like firsthand, and we're able to talk about this, because it's something that is so frustrating with the Star Wars fandom, where we see one popular YouTuber react terribly, start talking terribly about the show, and then everybody starts grabbing their pitchforks and everybody starts grabbing their torches and running to everybody who disagrees and has anything good to say about the show, and then jump down their throats.
And the same three criticisms are thrown out with no, okay, why is it woke? Why is this ruined Star Wars? Why does it do this? They can't give an answer. It's like sheep with pitchforks. It's like following the herd. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a compelling argument yet of why the show sucks.
Yeah. Everybody, the main things that I hear about woke agenda, I hear like it ruins the lore, it ruins Anakin.
Bad acting ruins the lore.
Bad acting, like terrible pacing. Like they're just throwing out like buzzwords.
People never gave it a chance off the first place. So why did we expect people to like the show once it came out? This show got negative bombed when the trailer came out.
Right.
And these people aren't going to change their mind. They're just going to keep getting louder and louder. Like, oh, look how right it was. This show's terrible.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's going on. Part of it.
That, yeah, for 100%. It's the more that I think these people would interact and watch the show and engage with it and think about it, if they thought about it, because stories, specifically this show, is a mystery, a murder mystery show. You're going to get misdirected.
Yeah,
they're going to show you things that are unreliable narrators. They're going to show you stuff that you're supposed to be thinking that this is that, and then something else happens. And people, we're at the point where we are told something by this show, but we haven't gotten the payoff yet. We haven't gotten the misdirection. We haven't gotten the reveal yet. We all know that the Jedi were not killed by a fire. We all know that. Not the
Jedi. You mean the Covenant.
No. Oh, yeah, the Covenant. Yeah. We all know that the Covenant were not killed by a fire.
We don't even know if May started the fire.
We
see. They don't show that in the episode. You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen. Yes,
she picks up the lamp, but like, we don't see her light the fire. We also don't. Also, we don't see, you know,
anything. We don't see anything.
Like, cause the base to explode. There could have been something else. We don't know. We don't know what killed everybody. We don't know if May did. We don't know if May was possessed. That's an interesting theory I heard. But, like, we literally don't know. And we have these big popular YouTubers, Star Wars theory, bold, on here with, like, hundreds of thousands of people reacting, his live reactions, talking about, oh, it makes no sense. How are rocks on fire? There's no way that little fire caused the explosion. Dude, we don't know. We don't even see May light the fire. We don't know entirely what caused the base to explode yet. Stop baiting and making assumptions about what you think you know. It drove me nuts.
Have a little bit of media literacy. The thing is, people, and this is not specifically about Star Wars theory, but I would imagine that most of the people in my comments, in Star Wars, like Star Wars community comments, are fans of his and are regurgitating what he is saying. That's all I hear.
It's a regurgitation.
So I'm just asking the people, whoever is listening, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not a hater of this show yet.
What you say?
If you're listening, you probably like the show, but yeah. I want people to take a step back, realize we are 3 episodes into an 8 episode show, and realize that we are being misdirected. It's a mystery show. We are not supposed to know everything that's going on. The point is hitting them flat in the face and they're not noticing it.
No,
they go, oh, May can't start. Like, that fire shouldn't have caused everything. That's the point. You're supposed to realize, hey, that little fire that May lit the notebook on should not, within minutes, cause an entire coven to be killed. Like, that's not the point. The point is the Jedi have something to do with it. Somebody has something else to do with it.
Somebody else has something else to do with it. And we don't know the full picture. So stop jumping to the conclusion. That's what people do this in shows, especially Star Wars fans. They like to think they know everything, and they like to make, like, they want to know answers as soon as possible. So they're just assuming, like, oh, this is stupid. How did this happen? Like, they're making that judgment without stepping back and thinking, like, what was the purpose of showing this? The purpose of this was to show the perspective from Osha. I see this as more of Osha's perspective. We still don't know May's perspective on this, because we're kind of just seeing it through Osha's eyes. That was Osha's interpretation of the events, honestly. That's how I interpreted that. So, like, while she's climbing through the little, you know, air docks thing, we don't know what's going on up there. Maybe May does. Also, side note, in one of the trailers, you can see the Wookiee, I believe it was the Wookiee Jedi, or somebody, you know.
Alnaka,
give the scar to Matt, what's his name? Master Torben. We don't see that in this episode. And you know what's interesting? This was pointed out. I believe it was, what channel did I watch it today? He pointed out in the episode that you can see Master Torben has a fresh scar in the background of the last scene, and there's no Wookiee Jedi. And the theory is that, you know, the Wookiee Jedi was possessed by the mother and attacked Torben. So we didn't even see that. So there's more to the story. And people are jumping to conclusions. That's what I'm trying to say. There's so much more to this story. And people are jumping to conclusions. And the conclusion is, oh, it's bad because there's no way this could have happened. We don't know the full picture. Take a step back. It's going to come together.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of people reacting to The Last Jedi, where we see multiple perspectives of what happened between Kylo and Luke. And the The first perspective that we get is Kylo's perspective. Literally, like he wakes up and Luke is like, because that's how Kylo sees what happens.
Yes.
And that's what Kylo thinks happens. Yeah, and then we get a Luke perspective that's not right. It's how he wants it to be. And then we get the actual answer when Rey grabs a lightsaber and puts it up to his neck. He's like, tell me what happened. And then we see what actually happened. And it's completely different than anything. And people jump on the thing that they want to see. If they're looking to hate on it, they're like, oh, Luke would never want to kill his kid or his nephew. Like, that's not what happened. So it's like, we just need to step back and like, think about stuff a little bit. This is the point of the show to get you to think.
Can we use some brain here? Like, I don't want to call people stupid, but people are just jumping to conclusions. Let's take a step back. Let's think about what the show is trying to tell us.
Hey, the questions, the stuff that doesn't make sense now may be answered in a week when we get to the halfway point of the show.
They're going to probably be answered. Like, I'm sure we're going to see what happened while Osha's in that air duct. We see Torben's got a scar in the background of the final, like in the final scene. He had to get that scar somehow. He apologized to Mae for like what they did. They must have done something not great. We haven't seen it yet. Like, guys, please listen to
the
show.
I don't think someone would.
Like, oh, this fight's dumb. There's bad acting. Why is there a chubby Jedi? This show's terrible. Think. Dude, like, please. That's, I'm pleading with people to just think for a second. Is that too much hard to ask for?
It's not too hard to ask for. I think it's something that. I think it's more fun for people to go into the show looking to hate it and then spewing hate in the comments.
There, people
to
are
get
finding
attention.
Things. I like the show so far. Was the acting a little cringe with some of the kids? Maybe. But
they're kids.
They're children. Kids. I feel like people are finding things to be mad about the show. I like the first three episodes so far. Is it the best Star Wars ever? No, but is it a good Star Wars show so far? Yes. It's mysterious. I'm intrigued. There's new characters. Like,
it's different.
Please stop trying to find things to be upset about. That's what people are doing. Like, people are going out of their way to just like be professional haters.
Yeah, they're being professional haters. That's
so stressful, bro. Like, I'm so fed up with these people. Luckily, I'm not on TikTok and I don't anymore, really, and I don't make content. And I don't get my comments spammed like Connor. So I'm going to pivot to this, Connor. Do you want to read some of your TikTok comments? I'd like to make this a weekly segment at this point for the podcast people. What hate is in Connor's comment section today?
Here we go. All right. This is my favorite segment. So you guys get a little bit of a sneak peek into what it looks like into a comment section. So this is on a video of me talking about Mae and Osha being born from the Force. User 717177 with the SpongeBob profile picture. Quote, they thems love this awful show. Anything that caters to you, right? Or should I say you/use?
That's just...
I have
nothing to say to that because that's so stupid. Keep going.
This show is objectively bad. No surprise that someone like you would enjoy it.
Maybe okay. You find that.
Now, if we think about that a little bit, objectively bad is an oxymoron because you can't say something is objectively your opinion.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
There's a couple good ones in there.
This dude's dad owns Disney at this point.
Dude, that's my best one. I texted that to Connor today when I saw it. I lost it on that. He's like, this dude's dad owns Disney. The best part is I know Connor's dad, and I can confirm he does not own Disney.
I can confirm he does not own Disney. Another one?
Keep going. These are great.
Quote, bro likes the Acolyte. Cheeky unfollow.
I saw that too. People are like, oh, you like the show? Unfollow now. I'm done. How dare you like something? And to give your opinion on why you like it, how dare you?
No, listen, I appreciate him being a follower for, I don't know, years. I'm glad that my opinion on a show cause of no follow. I don't want people who are as rational as that to follow me anyway. So, yeah, no, I appreciate all the support. I appreciate the interaction to boost the post.
Yeah, boost it.
Let's see if I can find any more.
Dude, I saw Chaco was praising it too. His comment section was so toxic, dude. Did you see his post?
I think I'm going to start replying to some of these comments and making videos just to egg them on a little bit more.
Yes. Dude, use the hate. I remember the days when, I mean, you still praise The Last Jedi, but dude, I remember all the interaction you get. Like, you enjoy it. Might as well feed the trolls. Might as well get some clout.
All right, ready? Last one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This creator doesn't love Star Wars. He's just looking for a paycheck. Unfollowing this whack page with a little sly emoji.
Sly emoji?
Yeah, so that's kind of the vibes that we're getting. Just sending some feelers out there, not getting a lot of positive return. But persevere. I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit exhausted.
Oh, I am too. It's very frustrating how much I'm a pretty positive person. All this negativity around this show that's three episodes that's brand new is just so exhausting, like you said. I'm ready to pull all my hair out because, like, next episode is a drop. They're going to keep complaining. Nothing's going to please these people, no matter what happens in the show. So,
yeah,
I'm just done with this.
No, I agree. Let's shift our focus. All right, we're getting a little riled up. I feel like we're getting a little bit frustrated here. Right,
we are. So. You want to go into anything else on the episode you want to talk about before we go to predictions for the next one? There's one thing I do want to bring up. Two things, which is we kind of got hinted at a forced dyad, which I think you kind of mentioned maybe earlier. The forced dyad between Osha and May, which is kind of cool. It was kind of hinted, you know, in the flashbacks and even in this episode a bit, how they're kind of connected through the Force. That's what, like, the mother said. Another thing I found interesting was the Jedi tests and how, you know, Osha didn't want to lie. It was like the similar test to what Anakin got. So I thought that was pretty cool. What did you think of that?
No, I liked it a lot. It was, I like to see the little Lothcat there. And obviously they know right away that it's similar to the scene in Into the Spider-Verse where Miles gets every question wrong, and it's like, if you get every question wrong, you know what the right answer is. I liked how Master Soul was like, he played her a little bit by saying, like, did. You're right. Yeah.
She's like, wait, that's not like, you're right. Who told you to lie?
Yeah, exactly. So Master Soul, once again, being the GOAT.
Oh, dude. He's the best character in the show, 100%, and it's not close. Him and the Wookiee. I love the Wookiee. Wookiee, like, he was like your uncle working on a speeder bike, you know, outside of ship. And even we see with Osha, I feel like this episode did a lot to confirm, like, Osha's character.
Yeah.
Show her, like, compassion towards animals. It showed that she wanted to become a Jedi, which I'm curious to see, like, why she didn't become a Jedi. We'll learn that maybe eventually. You see her interest in the Wookiee, you know, working on a speeder bike. That's where, you know, she probably became a mechnik and, you know, was interested in those kind of things. So I thought that was pretty cool. And also, they did the blood draw on, like, midichlorian count, like they did to Anakin. So I like the little subtle connections to the main Star Wars universe that they've been throwing in the show, and also, like, the character development of Osha. I think Osha is a very interesting character, and I'm excited to see what they do with her.
Yeah,
and
I think this character did a lot.
I
just
said that, I could already, if people make it this far, I can already hear the fingers going on the comments. How dare you say that? Oh my God. Yeah, she's interesting. I'm excited to see where they go with it.
Yeah, the other thing that I need to know, and I have a prediction, is, like, who is Darth Teeth, as the people are calling him?
Darth Teeth.
I
have some ideas, but yeah.
I think I low-key think it might be Mother Coral. I don't think we saw her in the pile of bodies. Huh?
Sounds like a dude.
No, it sounds like it's just a voice modulator. If you look back, it literally could be anybody.
I'm still going to go with this. I think it's Darth Tenebris.
No, stop. Get out of here.
Or somebody connected to Darth Tenebris. I feel like that'd be kind of cool.
I think that character is not going to be someone who we don't know. Who we haven't been introduced to yet.
You think it's some... Or it's that guy from the shop that made the poison.
Kirik.
Because he showed he could fight.
Kimir? Kimir?
Yeah, Kimir or something like that. Yeah. And Sith have shown, like, Palpatine, how they can hide in plain sight. So, like, I think maybe he's a Sith of some kind. And he was playing dumb, so...
Yeah. That's basically all I had to say about my predictions. I mean, I think next episode is going to give us a little bit more clarity on what happened. Hopefully, I hope this isn't like a completely flashback episode.
I don't think it will be. I think we're going to see, my prediction for the episode is we're going to get, you know, Osha going after the Wookiee Jedi. And as she's like confronting him, I think we're going to get more flashbacks there of like what happened. Because it seems like bro got possessed. And like, why is he isolated on this planet now? And he gave, you know, Master Torben the scar. Like, I feel like he's going to be maybe the missing piece of that flashback story. So I think we're going to get a little more flashback. And I think we're going to see, you know, the Wookiee Jedi. I hope they don't kill him because he seems cool.
Yeah.
He's probably finished. No.
Yeah. Well, he's alive.
Well, yeah, he's alive now. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. How
yeah, they're going to. Yeah, we'll see.
They killed the other two already, but. Yeah, what else do you think for the next episode other than that?
I'm hoping to see Yord again. I want to see because Yord is one of those characters that I think could be super interesting. I feel like he's like in limbo right now because he's very impressionable, and if all this gets out that the Jedi killed this whole entire coven and lied and covered it up, like I think he could be someone who could go a bunch of different directions, whether it's leave the Jedi, whether it's turn to the dark side, or even like, or become more like Master Son, or Soul. Sorry, Son. Sorry, Master Soul.
Well, that guy's a dog, so hopefully he would become him. But yeah, Yord is interesting because I get that vibe too from Yord. Is a little conflicted. Like, whatever happens, like, he's very, like, loyal to the Jedi. But, like, if they did, you know, murder a bunch of space witches, like, that just shows, you know, the hypocrisy of the Jedi. And I think he might go off the rails a little bit. So, Yord's interesting to see. I also want to know more what happens with Master Soul. They better not touch my Pookie. They cannot touch Master
Soul. Keep him safe.
We're going to have a big problem if they do anything about that. He's carrying the show.
Yeah. No, I think that's good for me. I think that we've got all of our points out. I'm excited for the next episode, and I'm less excited to see how
the
fandom reacts.
Yes. I'm gonna say this, guys, listen to me. I'm excited for the Acolyte. Come get me. I like the show. Attack me. Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Yes, honestly. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the least, but I am excited to, you know, see where the story goes, man.
Yeah. If I think we're good, right?
Yeah, I think that's everything I wanted to talk about. Obviously, we'll be doing these every week, reacting to the Acolyte, giving our thoughts, predictions after the episode comes out. If you want to follow Connor on TikTok, you'll follow him at Jedi Connor. Daddy Sheev, I'm retired. But make sure you check us out on YouTube, where we post these as well. I believe it's at Jedi Connor as well on YouTube. And we also post these on Spotify. So come take a listen.
Yes. May the Force be with you all. We appreciate your support. And go Acolyte.
Yes. Go Acolyte. Have a good one.